Once again, choir, thanks for the singing. Brother Jake, you did all right. It was good. It was all right. And who else sang? Kayla, yeah, the girls, K's and K and K and all of them all, they sang, did a fantastic job. And then Jackson, man, I appreciate you, brother. You'll never know. And I love you, and I appreciate that good singing. And Jake was all right, but anyhow. And I appreciate Jake. That was some good singing, good songs. Good song selection this morning. So he turned to me after the first song and said, "What are you going to change?" Change nothing. If it's bad, it's Jake's fault, all right? All right, Mark chapter number 10. If you're there, say amen. All right, if you're not, you can't find one of the Gospels, we're in trouble, okay? And but we're in Mark chapter number 10. They will have the words up on the screens. I'll start in verse 46, Miss Tracy, and I should have caught up there and told you beforehand. But we'll be at the end of the chapter. We'll read through the end of the chapter. And a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you've been around me very long, you've heard me preach out of this. And I love this passage of Scripture. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you this morning, all right? Let's begin our reading in verse number 46. And the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth." Now, this passage of Scripture, you can find the same story in Luke chapter number 18. You can find the same story in Matthew chapter number 20. In Luke chapter number 18, the Bible tells us that as he heard the noise, he asked what was going on. And that's when somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming by." Okay? So when you see, when he heard it was Jesus, I want you to know, before we go any further, I want you to know that he was curious as to what's going on. His interest was piqued, all right? And so he asked, what's happening? What's going on? And so the Bible tells us here in Mark chapter number 10, verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." Okay? This word "cry out" here can literally be translated "screamed." Now, I'm not going to do that because I don't have a voice. My voice is not where it needs to be right now. And so I'm going to try not to scream. But literally, when it says he cried out, he screamed. All right. I need somebody to understand what I just said right there. All right. This ain't, "Hey, Jesus. This ain't, we're not on the same page if that's where you're at. If you think it was Jesus, I can't go any higher. But you know where I'm headed, right? He screamed like to the top of his lungs. You have to imagine. Put yourself in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples and a great multitude was coming out of Jericho. You put a bunch of people together and it's noisy. How many of y'all know that? It took 10 minutes to get Sunday school started this morning because 5 people wanted to talk. All right. Is everybody with me? You put that in a multitude of people and you can't hear. So understand, putting yourself in this position, he was screaming to the top of his lungs, trying to be heard over the noise of the crowd. He was just trying for one set of ears out of I don't know how many a multitude is, but I'm thinking that's a pile of people. Amen. And he's trying to get a hold of 2 ears amongst thousands. Okay? And so he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, interesting here, "thou son of David," this title that he gives to Jesus, is a messianic title, which means this. He's basically saying Jesus, the Messiah. All right. This is what Christ means. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay. It literally means the anointed one. And I thought y'all would know that, okay? Christ literally means the anointed one or the Messiah. So this man, as blind as he may be physically, he was spiritually aware of who Jesus was. More so than the multitude that was walking with him. Okay? And he cries out, "Have mercy on me." Okay? Now, let's go into modern day. Is everybody with me? This is how this would play out in today's society. "Jesus, I've been blind for 30 years. I deserve to have my sight." "Hey, Jesus, you gave him his sight. I heard about that boy over there in the coffin you raised up from the dead." Is everybody all right? "I heard about that one that couldn't walk that you caused him to be able to walk. I heard about the one that was lame. I heard about the one that couldn't speak. I heard about that other blind guy. You gonna fix one blind guy. Is everybody all right?" Now, listen, I'm not trying to be mad with you. What I'm trying to say is that oftentimes we think God's obligated to us. But understand his heart when he cried out to God. He said, "Have mercy on me." Now, listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to make you mad again. But I'm going to say this, I'm going to move on. If you're not merciful, then I wouldn't ask for no mercy. I believe it was the same Jesus that said, "Blessed are those that show mercy, or the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I don't know a whole lot about this man, but I know this. He didn't earn the right to be able to see. He cried out on God, "Have mercy on me." In other words, I don't deserve it. But I'm pleading with you to have mercy on me. One that doesn't deserve it. That'll help you. Verse 48. "And many charged him." Now, this doesn't mean they ran at him. But it does mean that they opposed him greatly. In other words, this group of people that were enthroned around Jesus, the spiritual crowd, the people that were wanting to take their spiritual level or their spiritual strength to another level, their spiritual being to another level. They wanted to grow spiritually. They're all around Jesus, soaking in all of his words, and somebody can't see and says, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And they say, "Hey, man, you need to be quiet." Ouch. Like a lot of our churches. Got folks that come in and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me," and Jesus shows mercy on them, and somebody else comes in and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on me," and then we say, but do you know what they did, preacher? See, the Bible is relatable. Preacher, have you heard? Have you heard what they did? I remember one time I was talking to a preacher and he was telling me about this person. Man, I'm telling you, Jesse, I thought this person was, I'm talking about the lowest of the low. Right? And the preacher gets done. I said, "Man, how long ago did this happen?" And he said, 7 years. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. You can go back in my past, probably 7 years ago, and you can find some things you ain't going to like about me. But I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. Now, listen to me now. Let us be careful that we're not hindering somebody that wants to get closer to God. I'm going to move on. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. Now, he was screaming a couple of verses ago. I don't know what crying the more a great deal means, but I'm thinking he made a fool of himself. Is everybody all right? Once again, addressing Jesus on who he was and addressing him for mercy, asking him for mercy. All right? Next verse. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Y'all, that little word, that little sentence right there. Listen to me. Brother Ken, the one that spoke the world into existence. The one that says, let there be light, and there was light. The one that formed us out of the dust of the ground. The one that spoke this whole thing into existence. Heard this blind man say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says the creator of the universe stood still. I heard one person say it like this. I read a person that said it like this. Joshua conquered when he asked for the sun to stand still. He said, but blind Bartimaeus did such a greater gift when he cried out for mercy and the Son of Righteousness stood still. Hey, I like that. I like it enough for both of us. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Man, there's so much to preach right there. Is everybody ready? All right, so the Bible says commanded him to be called. It does not mean that he commanded Bartimaeus. He commanded the people to call. Y'all gonna get this? He didn't command Bartimaeus to get up and come to him. He commanded the multitude to call Bartimaeus to come to him. Don't think in our little mindset, don't think that him and Jesus was just a step away from one another. I don't know where Jesus was in this crowd, but I know a blind man couldn't get to him without the help of somebody else. And so the commandment for the healing came to those around the man rather than the man. Oh, hello. You know, there's some blind folks in mine in your life. And if you took that as physically blind, and me and you on the wrong, we on two separate pages right now, okay? But there's some spiritually blind people in our lives that are sitting by the wayside and they're wanting to be healed. But the reason they're not being healed is because of those that are around Jesus aren't obeying the command to go call them from. That is good. Y'all want to quit now? We need to start with, y'all want an invitation right now? I'm just reading. We ain't even got to preaching. The Bible says, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Ain't it just like a Baptist? I need somebody to help me. 2 minutes ago, shut up, man. Now it'll be like, oh, be of good comfort. The master calleth for thee. Blessed and highly favored. Just 2 minutes ago, they was like, shut your mouth. What's wrong with you, man? Shut up. Oh, Jesus is watching. Oh. I got him, Jesus. I got. Bringing in the sheaves. Is everybody all right? Hey, y'all laughed at that because y'all knew y'all done it before. Let me get back to where I was supposed to be. Mark chapter number 10. What verse are we in? 49. Be of good comfort. He calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I'm thinking Jesus already knew. Amen. Y'all help me. We're talking about the same one the Bible says over and over again. He knew their heart. I'm thinking Jesus knew exactly what blind Bartimaeus needed. I'm thinking blind Bartimaeus knew exactly what he needed. Are y'all following me right here? So Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed. Bartimaeus knew what he needed. So why the question? Hey. And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He didn't get bashful. I mean, the same one that's been screaming, the same one that's been hollering and hooping and jumping around. When he's finally put on the spot and the crowd's all quiet, wondering what's fixing to happen. And Jesus said, hey, man, what's wrong with you? He said, I can't see. If you'd be so kind. Amen. Have mercy on me. That I might be able to see. Bible says in verse number 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Now, I'm thinking something happened before Jesus told him to go thy way. Because a blind man going thy way could get pretty ugly. Is everybody all right? Something took place, Brother Ken, between the end of the last verse and Jesus saying, go thy way. Now, begs the question, what was the reason for going that way? Once again, Brother Mark, so the people would know. Bartimaeus knew what he needed. Jesus knew what he needed. Jesus provided what he needed. It wouldn't have done him no good to sit there in the road. He proved he got what he needed when Jesus said, go thy way. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. It wasn't just about his cry. See, many people miss that. It wasn't just about his cry. Remember, he knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. He called him Son of David. He knew who Jesus was. He had faith that Jesus was the Messiah. And so when Jesus dealt with him and Jesus healed him, he healed him on the basis of his faith, not on the basis of his cry. There's a lot of people crying out without the faith. They want something, but not for the right reason. Is everybody all right? I put something on Facebook this morning about our blessings, and it was from my study. A blessing. We get a blessing. We get a car. God bless me. We get a new job. God bless me. We get this. God bless me. But is it really God's blessings if it takes us away from him or distracts us from him? We may label it God's blessings, But the fact is, we just wanted that to appease our fleshly lust. Now take this in the same thing. I'm telling you, there's some people that only want healing for the fleshly lust. There's a totally different of somebody having faith and receiving healing. Does that make sense to y'all? So Jesus tells him, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, y'all give me a minute, because I'm going to read over in Luke chapter number 18, the last verse. Y'all don't have to turn there. You write down your Bible and go back later. But in Luke chapter number 18 and verse 43, same last verse, I want you to listen to this. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So, kind of putting them all together, we see how this thing played out all the way to the end. I didn't mention this, but I'm going to right here. Jesus told him to go thy way. But after he received his sight, his way was God's way. Don't miss that. Jesus gave him liberty and said, hey, go thy way, thy faith. You're healed. Go anywhere you want. You want to go back to the house? Go to the house. You can go find your girlfriend? Go find your girlfriend. Is that about right? You want to go to the football game? Go to the football game. Whatever you want to do, go thy way. Go on. You're done. I'm finished. He said, but I'm not. He said, my way is now your way. Don't miss that. And he said, I ain't just going to be like the rest of this crowd following around and telling everybody else to hold their peace. The Bible says that he glorified God the whole time he was doing it. And all those around him ending up seeing it, believing it, and glorifying God for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the blessing he received led him closer to Jesus and led others. Let's say that again, because y'all ain't get it. The blessing he received led him closer to Jesus, which in turn led others closer to Jesus. Because the Bible says they glorified God because of him glorifying God. Oh, that's good. Is that y'all good? We're done? All right, good. Thank you, Brother Ken. Brother Ken said no, so y'all got another hour, okay? I'm gonna get it done quick, okay? Today, in our day and time, we are fighting a spiritual battle. In the last year, we have fought what I think is more of a spiritual battle than a virus. Okay? I understand people have died from this thing. I understand that people have been very sick from this thing. But understand this, people are dying from the flu. People were very sick from the flu as well. Okay? Not taking anything away from COVID. I'm just saying this has become more of a spiritual battle than a physical battle. There's nothing the devil wants more than for you and I to continue sitting on the side. There's nothing. There's not one thing he wants more than for the average Christian to stay on the sidelines and not care that Jesus is passing by. He wants to keep us in isolation. That word, if you ain't had COVID, let me tell you the worst thing about COVID. It ain't the sickness. It's the isolation.
And
I think I got everybody has had it. They're sitting here going this. So if you had it, you know exactly what I'm saying. The worst part of the whole thing was the isolation, which is the very tactic that Satan wants to use to keep you and I from getting closer to him. Now, I told you, if we're talking about spiritual blindness versus if your thing is physical blindness, and then you ain't on the same page. I think all of us have some spiritual blindness in our lives. I think all of us would agree that the devil fights us and tries to keep us over here on the side. Is everybody with me? He uses people to do it. Remember, the Bible says that he said, Jesus! They said, man, hush. I hope I'm helping you right here. How many times over the last year have you had the mindset, I'm going to get a closer walk to the Lord. I'm going to get a better relationship with the Lord. I'm going to get closer to the Lord during this. I'm not going to allow this to defeat me spiritually. Only to have somebody say, you don't need to be going to church, because that's where everybody gets the virus. Come go with me to Walmart. Nobody gets a virus there. People wearing underwear on their face and nobody's getting a virus. Is everybody all right? Bad picture, I'm sorry. We've been instructed that the worst place that we can be is in a spiritual setting. Who you think's behind all of that? I believe right now the church is under attack, and the church is blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road. I believe blind Bartimaeus wants to have their sight. I believe blind Bartimaeus wants to get up off the sidelines and wants to get right in the middle of the crowd. Wants to glorify God again, wants to worship and bring others to God again. But Satan's using some tactics that says, no, you need to isolate yourself. And using people that says, no, you don't need to be involved in that. Hold your peace. Wait till it all goes by. Y'all ready? This was the last time Jesus passed through Jericho. I'll go over here and say it. If you look in your Bible chronologically, this was the last time Jesus passed through Jericho. This means that had blind Bartimaeus held his peace, we wouldn't be reading about blind Bartimaeus.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
And if we were reading about blind Bartimaeus, he'd still be blind. This was his opportunity to get exactly what he needed. And had he listened to everybody around him, if he had decided, you know what, I'm just gonna, I'll catch him the next time. There wasn't the next time. Satan would have won. Bartimaeus still be blind. But the Bible said, number one, he recognized that Jesus was passing by and this was his opportunity. Bible says when he heard. Did y'all catch that? I told you, another passage of scripture says he asked, what's all this? What's going on? The passage of scripture we read, it said, when he heard, he said, you know what? This is my chance.
Jesus might not pass by this way again. If I'm going to get a hold of him, it's going to be right now. I need somebody in the church to hear me. Because right now, you're on the sideline. And you want to get in. You want to get in. And Jesus is passing by. And you know it. Because I'm here to tell you. According to the Bible, where two or three are gathered together, you find him in the midst. So I'm going to just go ahead and say this. He's here this morning. I can't guarantee you he'll be here Wednesday. I can't guarantee you he'll be here next Sunday. You say, well, Jesus don't come to y'all's church all the time. I'm just saying, trumpet may sound tonight. The trumpet may sound before you get finished with your fried chicken today. On that last bit of fried chicken with mashed potatoes covered in, I need somebody to help me right here. Jesus could say, come home. So we can't very well say, I'll just wait till next Sunday. We have to recognize that he's here, passing by. And now you have to make a decision. Is where I'm at where I want to be? Is where I'm at and the condition I'm in spiritually right now where I want to be when all this is over with? You're going to have to refuse to buy into the belief that we can wait, or think that you'll just figure it out on your own. You're going to have to make a decision this morning. Do you want to stay on the sidelines? Or do you want to get out of it? Do you want to get to a place where you're close to him, following him, glorifying him, and bringing others to him? Because that's how Bartimaeus ended up, because he refused to stay on the side of the road. Yeah. He refused to stay on the side of the road. And he just decided, I'm going to get God's attention. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care how upset the crowd gets. But what I need is only going to be found in him.
Yes, glory to God.
So this morning, your decision. She's coming to the piano. Look at there. See, y'all was worried when I said an hour left. I don't know about y'all, I want to do so much more for God than I have. And there are times in my life where I feel like I am on the sidelines. This morning, with heads bowed with me, if you will, people are already coming to the altar. There's plenty of room all the way across. What's keeping you there? I'd venture to say that most of the people sitting in this crowd this morning want to be closer to him. But at the end of this thing, it's your decision. It's your choice. You need to stay on the sidelines. Continue on. But this morning,
You can say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'd rather be with him than sitting in the ditch. Even if nobody else likes it. Maybe this morning you sit here spiritually blind. You sitting in that ditch, and maybe there's never been a time where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe if you got honest with me and honest with God this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask this question. I want you to answer it honestly. I'll be the only one looking. But if you were to die right now where you're sitting at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you do not know how to answer that, or if you couldn't answer that with yes, I know for sure. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just be honest with me. Make eye contact with me so I know how to end the service. Okay, you can put your head down. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody else? I'm going to pray. I ask you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we come to you this morning humbly, thanking you, Lord, this morning for your presence. Thanking you that you passed by our way, Lord. Lord, there's one in our service that wants to get closer to you. Desires to get off the sideline, Lord. Lord, this morning, I ask you, I beg you, Lord. Lord, to give them the courage to step out on the faith that they already have. Lord, they've already admitted they got faith. It took faith just to trust me enough to look up. Lord, I pray this morning that you would continue to work. And Lord, today would be the day that they get out of the ditch and get close to you. Head still bowed, nobody's looking around. If you looked up at me, I want you to listen. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to send anybody else to you. But I'm going to offer you the same thing that was offered to me. September 28, 1997, I sat in a church service. Preacher asked the same question. Just like you, I was honest with him and I was honest with myself. I was honest with the Lord that I did not know. He gave me this invitation. He said, why don't you come forward and let me take a Bible and show you how to be saved? Same invitation I'm going to give to you. I ain't going to tell you what the Baptist church says or some other denomination. I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. You can walk out of here just like I walked out of Bible Baptist Church September 28, 1997. A new creature. No longer blind to the spiritual truth of a Savior who loved me, gave himself for me, that I might live through him. But it's your choice. If you'll let me do that this morning, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right down here. If not, I won't embarrass you. Won't send anybody to you. It's your decision. Just as it was blind Bartimaeus' decision. It's your decision this morning. Would you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for this place. I needed this. I needed the fellowship. I needed to see the faces. Isolation. A word that's been in my mind since 2 weeks ago. How many individuals, how many people, how many Christians have isolated themselves from the very thing that could help them. God, I pray that you'd help us to be spiritually aware of the battle that's going on for our minds and the battle that's going on for our hearts. And God, may we, like blind Bartimaeus, with everything that we have, scream out to you, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. God, I pray this morning you continue to work in lives and hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd provide opportunity to get this settled before it's too late. God, for the Christians that are in this service this morning, Lord, I pray that we took this opportunity to get closer to you. We realize that we're taking a big chance by waiting to get out of the ditch. God, I pray that you'd use this church, people of this church, to bring others to you. I pray, Lord, that those that have been healed and those that have their eyesight, Lord, would glorify you in such a way that others would see it and that others would glorify you. Let us be a church, Lord, that obeys the commands of Scripture to go out of the crowd